This morning, if you've got your Bibles, if you'll turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 16. And we're going to look at one verse of Scripture. It's interesting to note that all four Gospels portray the events that occurred in the life of Jesus in different ways. Some give a little more detail, some give a little less detail. There are some that point out things a little differently. And this is one particular area that Mark points out. I love the Gospel of Mark. Mark is known as the action gospel. He doesn't have a lot of filler. He's just kind of moving from one thing to another. But I love some of the detail that Mark provides in his account. Mark chapter 16, I want you to look at verse 7. Well, I missed a one. Mark 16, sorry. Sorry. What do you do?
What verse?
Mark 16, chapter 7. Mark 16, verse 7. How appropriate that I made that mistake. Because today we're going to be talking about second chances. Y'all need to give me a second chance next week to make that right. We've been doing this for a year and a half. I think it's the first time I've ever done that. Mark 16, chapter 7. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth forth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. When I first started working with Nationwide Insurance, a guy came to me and he said, "Why don't you join us in the golf league?" I said, "I'm not a real good golfer at all." He said, "Doesn't matter. We got guys of all talent levels." He said, "Why don't you come and be a part of us?" I said, "Well, okay." Turns out there were about 40 guys that had a golf league, half played on Tuesday, half played on Thursday. Yeah, I got a chance to play golf every week and loved every minute of it. One year, my team actually won the golf league championship. I've got a big old trophy to prove it. We did. Sometimes when me and the guys were out there for a practice round, we would look at each other on the first tee and somebody would say, "Hey, we're going to take any mulligans today?" Now, a mulligan, in case you don't know, is when you make a bad shot, you get a do-over. Doesn't matter how bad that shot was, doesn't matter where it was, you get to take another shot. I always was in favor of mulligans. But I got to be honest with you, they never did me a whole lot of good. I think my golf balls in my bag were in love with each other and couldn't bear to be apart. Because whether I hit it into the woods or the briars or the brambles or into a pond, the next shot I made seemed to follow it. Exactly where it went. But it was still nice to have that second chance. Second chances are nice when we have failed. It's good to get another opportunity. Good to get a second chance, isn't it? Good to get a second chance to right our wrongs and to get another opportunity to make things right and to put things back in order and not make the same mistake again. When I was in college, I used to love it when one of my professors stood in front of the class and said, "I am so disappointed in all of you." Because I knew that we were probably going to get an opportunity for a retake of a test. It was rare, but I tried to do better. I struggled to begin with, but it was always nice to get that second chance to improve my grade. Now, let's translate that to our spiritual lives. Let's face it, we all mess up. We all mess up. We're all looking for that second chance to make things right. Now, understand what I'm getting ready to say. I'm not suggesting that anybody here, anybody listening in, that you need a second chance because you've messed up. I don't know your life. Only you know your life. But the only thing I can say for certainty is what the Bible says. And in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All. Not some. All. Y'all are some of the best people I've ever met in my life. And you know what? We have all sinned. We have all sinned. All of us need those second chances. What we do with them, what we do with them is up to us. But God, who is rich in mercy and forgiveness, grants those second chances all the time, doesn't he? There's examples of this found all through the Bible. Last week we talked about Jonah. What an example of a second chance. Jonah was given a chance by God to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. What about Moses? Moses coming down from the mountain and he broke the tablets because he was so angry. God gave him a second chance and did them all over again for him. One that we all know about is Peter, denying while cursing that he even knew Jesus. But he was forgiven and restored as the rock on which Jesus' church would be built. What about the Apostle Paul that was trying to literally wipe out the church? But God met him on the Damascus Road and gave him another chance. What about King David? A man after God's own heart, the Bible says, engaged in adultery and was complicit in murder. And yet God gave him a second chance. Even Jesus came from his line. Examples of second chances are not just in the Bible. I've seen them firsthand as a minister. I'm not going to call the man's name, but I'll share this with you. This is a true account. When I was at Powhatan, somebody had called. I don't even remember the name of the person, but they had a relative in Rex Hospital they asked me to go and see. And so one Saturday afternoon, I was driving to Rex Hospital, and just before I got to the hospital, I was just about at Crabtree Valley Mall on the Beltline, and Ginger called and informed me that the person I was going to see had died. And I told Ginger, I said, "Well, how long ago?" She said, "They didn't say." I said, "Well, I'm going to go on to the hospital. Maybe the family is there." So when I got there, they didn't even have the patient registered because he probably had died, because he had died. And they finally said, "Well, no one's in the room. No one was down at ICU." She said they could be talking with some of the officials here. Said, "Why don't you go to the waiting room and wait? The family will come back there if they're still here." So I went to the waiting room there at Rex, and I sat down. And I was the only one in this room. Nobody else there. And I waited 15 minutes, 30 minutes. And I finally made my mind up. I said, "Well, I'm going to wait about another 15 minutes. If nobody comes, I'm going to go ahead and leave." Somebody, they've obviously probably already left. And while I am sitting there, this young lady that I know walked in. And she was looking down, and she walked in, and she took about two steps into the room, and she looked up, and she saw me. She put her hand over her mouth, and she said, "Oh, my God, Roger, it's you. I'll be right back." And out the door she goes. I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? In a few minutes, she comes back in, and in tow is her sister-in-law, who I went to school with. And her sister-in-law walks over to me and she grabs me by the hand and she said, "Roger, come with me." And so we start to walk down that long hallway to ICU. And I'm looking at this young lady and I'm going, what's going on? her husband was in ICU. He was not a Christian. He had lived a hard, hard life. I'd known him for a lot of years. Loved him to death. Tough lifestyle. She looked at me and she said, "He's dying." She said, "And he's been asking for a preacher all day." She said, "And here you are." Now, first of all, let me stop right there. Do you think it's an accident that God sent me to that hospital? No. And I have thanked him more times than you can imagine for letting me be a part of this and see this firsthand. I walked into that ICU. He is sitting up in bed. He looks like water has been dumped on him, and he is writhing in pain. He's got so many machines hooked up to him, I can't even count them, and every one of them were beeping. And I walked over, and his wife said, "Roger's here." And I looked at him, and I said, "How are you doing, buddy?" And his response was, "I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell." I said, "You don't have to." I said, "Do you want to accept Christ?" "Yes, I want to accept Christ. I don't want to go to hell." I said, "Let's pray." And about that time, a nurse walked over and she said, "Y'all've got to leave." And I said, "Ma'am, can you just give me a couple minutes? Please, just a couple minutes." She said, "Okay, have prayer, but then you've got to leave." I grabbed that. Let me put it this way, it's even better. He grabbed my hands, and we started praying. And I will tell you, with God as my witness, as we prayed, every one of those little beeping machines went off one by one, every one of them. He got calm. He wasn't writhing around. And that man accepted Christ into his life on his deathbed. Let me give you the rest. Let me give it to Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. About 3 days later, he was in a room. He didn't die. And I went by to see him. He didn't go to my church, but I knew him. I went by to see him. And I walked in, and he looked at me, and he said, "Brother," he said, "you know what?" He said, "I almost went away from here." I said, "Yeah, you did." He said, "They've told me I've got to change some things or I'm going to die." And he said, "And I am." He said, "And I love you like a brother." He said, "But I'm going to go to church with my wife." She went to a different church. He said, "I'm not going to come to Powhatan." I said, "That's fine. You ain't got to come to Powhatan." He said, "But can I come to Powhatan when I get out of here and tell them what God had did for me back there?" I said, "You can." And he did. When he got out and got straight, started going to church with his wife, got baptized, came to Powhatan, gave his testimony. For the next few years before he died a couple of years ago of cancer, that man was a Christian. He was given a second chance. And he made the most of it. Praise God that we serve a God of second chances. I could give a lot more examples. In fact, most of the people in the Bible that we think about as heroes, most of them messed up at some point. But God didn't give up on them, and God doesn't give up on us either. As a matter of fact, He gives us mercy and compassion and second chances each and every day. I love this verse of Scripture. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faith. Most all heroes of the faith messed up from time to time, and yet God's mercy was extended to them time and time again. Let's look at just one of them, the Apostle Peter. Now, Peter messed up a lot. But you know what? I think that's why I admire him so much. I really do. Don't you know that when Jesus was calling his 12 disciples, don't you know when he found Peter fishing and he said, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Don't you just know that Jesus in the back of his mind thought, he's going to be my problem child. He's going to be my problem child. He knew Peter was going to need that second chance, that third, that fourth, that fifth chance. But he also saw something in Peter that he said, you know what? That's the rock I can build my church on. He's going to be my problem child. He's going to mess up. His mouth's going to run away from him. But I can use him. I can use him. And by the way, there's no doubt in my mind that Peter loved Jesus. But Peter messed up. Peter messed up. In Matthew chapter 26, we find that Peter denies that he even knows Jesus. In the most desperate hour that Jesus had faced, Peter hung him out to dry. Peter denied him. And he was so vicious in his denial that the Bible says that he cursed while he did it. This was the man that Peter had looked at and he said, "I'll die with you." This was the man that had looked at Jesus and said, "If it's really you walking on the water, let me walk to you." And then when Peter took his eyes off of him, Jesus picked him up and saved him. This was the man that Peter had stood by while he blessed 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed a multitude and then picked up more than what he started with. Peter had seen all of these miracles firsthand. And now he denies that he even knows him. But apparently there came a time as Jesus was being led from this kangaroo court that he was put through where Peter locked eyes with Jesus. And he remembered. Jesus looked at him and said, "Peter, you're going to mess up. Before the chicken crows in the morning, Peter, you're going to deny that you know me 3 times. You're going to mess up, Peter." And Peter, all 10 feet tall and bulletproof, "No, that's not me." And yet Peter fulfilled that prophecy in grand fashion. The Bible says that when he did, he went out and he wept bitterly. He realized what he had done. He realized that he'd messed up. But you know, in Peter's mind, "I have just denied the very Son of God. I have just denied the Messiah. Surely there is, I'm done. I'm done. There's no way God the Father's ever going to forgive me." We read that and even we think there is no way that God's going to give Peter a second chance. Denying that you even know him in this time surely is going to disqualify you for any second chance that might come your way. And then we look at our scripture for this morning. Do you know this is the only place that includes Peter's name? "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. The only disciple, the only one of the 11 still left that is specifically named. And church, I'll tell you the truth. I don't believe that's by accident. When these angels proclaimed to these women that Jesus had arisen from the dead, they were told the words to speak. I don't know whether it was God the Father or God the Son or God the Holy Spirit, but somebody told them to say, and make sure you mention Peter. Isn't that kind of cool? Make sure you mention Peter. I don't believe that was by accident. I believe they wanted to make sure that Peter knew, yeah, you messed up, but boy, you're still a part of God's plan. He hasn't given up on you. Peter, the Lord's going to give you a second chance. He specifically asked us to tell them to let you know that he is arisen. A few days later, on the banks of the sea, Peter and Jesus have a little breakfast together, and they have a conversation, and Jesus restores Peter. Peter was given that second chance. Now, what did Peter do with that second chance? Well, in Acts chapter 2, we find that Peter preached on those that were there at Pentecost. And I want you to listen to what the Bible says. Then they that gladly received his word, talking about Peter, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's making the most of a second chance. Listen, folks, failure doesn't have to be final unless we allow it to be. You might be here this morning, you might be listening in, and you might be defeated, discouraged, depressed. Maybe you've even gone so far as to deny Jesus, just as Peter did. Remember that Peter was given a second chance. And if God gave Peter a second chance, he's the same God today as he was then. And he'll give us a second chance as well. We got to remember that our past failures don't determine our future. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad God gives me a mulligan. I'm glad he gives me a second chance, aren't you? We can have a second chance today. God will give us the victory over anything holding us captive. The prodigal son was given a second chance. Samson was given a second chance. Lazarus was given a second chance. Raised him from the dead. Rahab, prostitute, given a second chance. I guess my question for all of us today is, if you're here feeling like, or you're viewing and feeling like that you've just been one and done with God, what more do you need to believe that our God is a God of second chances? What do we have to do when God gives us a second chance? Well, the first thing we have to do is acknowledge our failure. Jeremiah says, "We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee." Acknowledge our failures. Hey, he knows about it anyway. He knows about it anyway. I'll tell you a little anecdote. I thought about this very statement today. I was working on one of my accounts this week, and I had given my producer a price. And as I was looking back through it, I realized I had made a mistake. And it was going to cost them about $35,000 more. Do you know I waited 2 days before I called him? I did. And the whole reason was because I did not want to acknowledge that I had done this. And I was here one night at church, and I was studying for this sermon, and I got down to this part, acknowledge your failure. And I wrote down, Jesus knows about it anyway. And I thought, well, it's not going to get any easier the longer I wait. And so you know what? I went to him the next morning. First thing, I said, listen, man, I goofed. It's going to cost this extra. He said, well, that's fine. He said, I haven't shown it to him yet. He said, I'll just add it in. It was a non-issue. Acknowledge our failure. Jesus already knows. But as hard as it is to acknowledge that we have failed, there's forgiveness, mercy, redemption, and a second chance awaiting us if we do. The second thing we have to do is confess our sin. Go ahead and confess our sin. Confess that we have fallen short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And by the way, in the Greek, that word cleanse, it doesn't mean a one-time deal. It means it's a continual cleansing. I don't know about you, but I need to be rubbed on the washboard every day. I do. The Scripture states that we will be forgiven and cleansed from our sins. That's a promise that we can count on. The third thing we have to do is put it behind us. I love what the Apostle Paul says. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. I would never dare pick a bone with my Creator. Because He made me, the Bible says He made all of us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He says He's carved us into His hand, into His palm. But if I were to pick a bone with my Creator, I wish I didn't have a conscience sometimes. Me and some of my buddies, I know some of them are listening in this morning that I grew up with, and we ran hard when we were young men. We've talked about it. I think about some of those times, and it pierces shivers up my spine. But as one of them reminded me not too long ago, he said, dude, we were left here for a purpose. Put it behind. Let it go. Quit living life in the rearview mirror. We failed. We messed up. It happened. We wish it didn't, but it did. And you know what? We can't change it. But it's over. And if we have gone to Christ, it's forgiven. It's forgiven. Don't let the guilt of past failures define your life. We've been given a second chance. Look forward to that. The fourth thing that we need to do is move forward. Move forward. I love this verse from 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are coming new. That young man I told you about that is fighting alcoholism and is 2 weeks sober, clean and sober. He's working on a new life right now. He's looking forward to a new life. He's posted his journey on Facebook, and there have been people that have said, I don't think you need to be posting things like this on social media. But for him, I believe it helps to keep him accountable. And you know what? If he's got a new life in Christ without the influences of alcohol or drugs, praise God. Preach it. Preach it. Preach it. Let other people know that he's looking forward. That's what we have to do. Walk forward in forgiveness and the new life that Christ has given. We're a new creature. All that failure, the times we messed up, has been forgiven and has passed away. We've got a new start, a second chance. Move forward and get beyond those feelings of guilt and shame. God is doing a new work within us, just as he did with Peter. And finally, we need to learn from it. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We need to learn from our mistakes so we won't make them again. Value that second chance that we've been given and be wiser because of it. Church, we need to realize God hasn't given up on us when we fail. He's still got plans for our life, and he still offers us a second chance, and we need that. I know the hour's getting late, but I want to end with this poem. I started not to include this, but it just speaks to me. I don't know who the author is, but it's called Start Over. When you've trusted Jesus and walked his way, when you felt his hand lead you day by day, but your steps now take you another way, start over. When you made your plans and they go awry, when you've tried your best and there's just no more try, when you failed yourself and you don't know why, start over. When you've told your friends what you planned to do, when you've trusted them and they didn't come through, and now you're alone and it's all up to you, start over. When you've raised your kids and they're grown and gone, and you've done your best, but it's turned out wrong, and now your grandchildren have come along, start over. When you've prayed to God so you'll know his will, when you've prayed and prayed and you don't know still, when you want to stop because you've had your fill, start over. When you think you're finished and want to quit, when you've bottomed out in life's deepest pit, when you've tried and tried to get out of it, start over. When the year has been long and success is few, when December comes and you're feeling blue, remember this: God's got a January just for you. Start over. Now, whether you're here this morning, whether you're viewing us remotely, only you know your relationship with God Almighty this morning. I wouldn't pretend to know that, but I almost can imagine that somewhere along the way, we all have damaged that relationship. And I want us all to understand this, because this is a fact. It's not God that moved away from us, it's us that moved away from him. But today, he's calling all of us this morning. And he's willing to give us that second chance and to forgive us. But we've got to move back to him for that relationship to be restored, to receive that second chance to start over. It's not too late today. It's not too late today. As long as there is breath in your body, there is a hope of a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth chance with God. It's here for you today. Won't you come and get your second chance from God this morning? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you that one mistake doesn't mean the end. We thank you, Lord, that you're in the business of restoring people that have messed up. As you forgive us of our sins and give us second chances, help us to acknowledge our failure, confess our sins to you, put it behind us, move forward, and learn from it that we don't make that same mistake again. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. And now, Father, in this time of decision, we await your forgiveness and the second chance that you offer to all of us this morning as we come to you. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen.